Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we have been talking about the importance of worship and praise and what the Bible says about worship. If you go to churches across this great country, you will find a great variety of expressions of worship during a church service. There will be groups that think that singing hymns is the only appropriate method of worshiping. There will be others who think that no instruments should be allowed in a church and that that is the proper way to worship God. And yet, we will take a look today at what the Bible says about worship and praise. And specifically, I wanted to talk about seven different Hebrew words that are translated as praise in English, in our English Bible. In order to have a more in-depth understanding of biblical expressions of this part of worship called praise, we will look at these subtle differences in the seven words, which all mean a form of praise to God. The first one is the Hebrew word yada, and it means to revere or to worship with outstretched hands. Are you offended if you see someone in a worship service raising their hands to God while they're lifting up praise? This is yada, to worship with outstretched hands. The word barak means to kneel or to bless God as an act of adoration. Perhaps you've been in a worship service where people just spontaneously began to kneel before the Lord. Kneeling before God is an expression of adoration, and it is the Hebrew word barak. Another word for praise is the word halal, and it means to shine, to celebrate, to rave, to be clamorously foolish. Now, that is an obviously exuberant outward expression of praise to God. And it speaks to us of what King David did when the ark was being returned to Jerusalem. He was dancing clamorously, foolishly, raving, celebrating with this outward exuberant expression of praise to God. And his wife, Michal, despised him for his exuberant worship. And yet it is one of the Hebrew words that expresses praise to God. A fourth Hebrew word that's translated as praise in the Bible is the word tehillah. It means to extol or to laud or to praise or commend. And the idea here is of verbal praises spoken out to God from the heart. I remember the very first time that I was in a church service where people began to spontaneously praise God with different words. They were all saying different things at the same time. But as I listened, I could tell that they were all praising God from their heart with a freedom of expression. They weren't following a script or reading from a book. They simply were praising God and giving thanks to God spontaneously and simultaneously, all at one time, everyone speaking out from their heart. And this is the idea of the word tehillah, to extol or praise God freely with praises spoken to God from the heart. The fifth word is the Hebrew word zamar, and it also is translated into English just as the word praise, but it meant to celebrate in song or music. It meant to sing forth praises, not just to speak them, but to literally sing forth praises to God. A sixth Hebrew word is the word todah. It means a sacrifice of thanksgiving or giving thanks in songs of worship. And we spoke earlier in the week about this specific means of praising God through thanksgiving. And the seventh word that is translated into the word praise in English is the Hebrew word shabach, and it means to address praise to God in a loud tone. Some churches consider worship to only be appropriate if it is quiet, somber, solemn, or private devotion. And yet, from these Hebrew words, it's clear that there's an exuberant aspect to worship that is pleasing to God, and that loud praises and music are all expressions of worship that the Bible condones. However, the key to remember is that all worship, true worship, should be spirit-led, and the focus must always be upon God and not upon self. Many people in churches where exuberant praise and worship is customary may fall into the trap of enjoying the form of their praise and worship more than the object of their praise and worship. This must be guarded against, or our praise and worship will be nothing more than a fleshly display. Singing in and of itself is not worship, yet singing can be worship. Music in and of itself is not worship, and yet music can be worshipful. Dancing is not worship, and yet we see in Psalm 149 and Psalm 150 that worship of God through dance is scriptural and biblical. The key, again, is that all of our worship be done in the spirit and not in the flesh. Other expressions of worship mentioned in scriptures include worship to God as a group or in the congregation, mentioned in Psalm 111:1. Worship with musical instruments is mentioned in Psalm 150. Worship with a loud shout to the Lord is mentioned in Psalm 98 and Psalm 100. Worship of God by clapping of the hands is mentioned in Psalm 47. And worship through giving of an offering is mentioned in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29. Whatever scriptural form your worship of God takes, your ultimate goal is to enter into God's presence and bring Him your adoration. But for it to be acceptable and pleasing to God, it must be done in the Spirit, and not in your own strength or your own wisdom or even just in your religious tradition. Like every other thing we do in our life of faith, we are to walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We must call upon the Holy Spirit to teach us how to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In his excellent book called What the Bible Teaches, R.A. Torrey made these profound statements about worship. He said, "Not all worship of God is in the Spirit. Very much of it is of man himself in the power of his own will. It is of the flesh. The flesh seeks to intrude into every sphere of life, even the highest and the most sacred. We must realize the danger that there is that the flesh intrude itself into our worship. We must cast ourselves upon the Holy Spirit to lead us into worship. The first thing we should do when we worship is to look to the Holy Spirit to teach us and to enable us to worship aright. The Holy Spirit must present God to our mind for our contemplation. He must subdue and awe our hearts before Him in adoration. If we want to worship God aright, our heart must look up and cry, 'Teach me, Holy Spirit, to worship,' and He will do it." These are excellent admonitions for us that we have to rely on the Holy Spirit even to worship God properly. God wants us to be worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Any time that you come before the Lord, to bring worship to Him, whether it's alone in your own prayer closet or whether it's in a congregation, in a Sunday service, regardless of what anyone else is doing, look to the Lord and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to help you to worship God in spirit and in truth as you join in the singing of chorus or hymn, as you stand before Him in silence, in reverential awe, whatever you're doing in the congregational form of worship, ask the Lord from your own heart to assist you to worship Him in spirit and in truth so that your offering of worship will be pleasing to God and that you will truly be able to come into His presence. Remember, your ultimate goal is to enter His presence and bring Him your adoration. That's all the time we have for today, but join me tomorrow as we take a look at scriptural results of worship. They're very powerful, so don't miss it. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. There's no wound so deep that Christ cannot heal it, no bondage so strong that Christ cannot break it, and no life so far gone that God cannot turn it around. Have a worship-filled and victorious week. Hi, thanks for listening today. I would like to invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. We call our partners Supply Keepers. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS or email us through our website and let us know that you'd like to become a Supply Keeper, helping to disciple the nations before the return of our Lord.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.